Every believer should hear God's voice clearly, but most do not. Obstacles must be removed. My guest is going to tell you how. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Marty Derricotte, has seen thousands saved, healed, and delivered when he's actually baptized them at the North Georgia Revival. He operates in very precise words of knowledge. Tell me about one healing.
A 17-year-old girl named Brenna came and got into the water, and we always ask these questions: where are you from? What's your name? Why are you in the water? And she began to say that she had suffered with anxiety, stress, depression, suicidal thoughts, some addictions that she had in her life, and she wanted the Lord to heal her if He could. I noticed she had cuts up and down her arms from self-harming. My wife was in the water with me, Paula, and we began to walk her through some deliverance, some ministry time, and we assured her of the Word of God. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says that not only will He heal our wounds, He'll restore our health. And so we knew that those scars were from her past, and the Lord wanted to touch those scars. We knew He wanted to trade His scars for her scars. So in that moment, we began to anoint her with oil. We asked for her permission. My wife and I began to pray over her, and literally in that water, my wife and I began to feel the scars disappearing until it was baby skin on both arms, Sid.
Now, you grow up thinking God didn't speak to everyday believers, just these special people.
I got saved as a 23-year-old man in a denominational church where the gifts were not taught, they were not talked about. I knew that at that point, the only way I could hear from God was from reading His Word, the Logos. I always heard evangelists and preachers and teachers and the fivefold ministers. As I would listen to Christian radio and watch Christian television and be in conferences and church services, these men and women would talk about hearing the voice of God. They would say things like, God told me to tell you, or I have a prophetic word.
And you know what? Most of us that hear that, they think it's like a Charlton Heston in one of these things, hearing the audible voice of God.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
And that's what confused me. I had never heard the voice of God like that. To this day, I've never heard the voice of God come through audible ears. But I would hear these people, these men and women, say that God told them to say this to certain people. And I would hear, thus saith the Lord, like they had heard from Him and was now standing in to deliver what He said. And I longed for that. I wanted to hear the voice of God, but I didn't know how to hear Him other than reading His Word. And that's a good place to hear Him. If you can't hear God, read Him. But I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, 1995, 2 years after I gave my life to Christ. Sid, that opened up a whole new world of hearing from the Lord. I began to look in the Logos, the written word, and it became Rhema. It was like the words just jumped off the page into my spirit. I began to see where God spoke to people all through the Scriptures, through visions, dreams, other people. So many different ways He could speak to people, and the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, opened up my spiritual ears to hear Him clearly.
You put it this way, you say, my conversation went with God from a monologue to a dialogue.
It went from me presenting my list of needs and wants to the Lord in my prayer time to opening up this brand new monologue instead of dialogue where I understood He wanted to speak back. I just wasn't giving Him enough time to speak to me. I would come into my prayer closet, my prayer time, I would give Him everything that I had on my list of needs, and I would walk away. And I felt like every time I walk away, Sid, now looking back, I felt like the Lord was going, but He didn't have the opportunity to speak because I wasn't.
So what do you do now? You do whatever you want to pray, and then do you sit still? What are you doing?
You sit still. There's a moment where the Lord wants to invite us into a moment of prayer, not just to hear from us. Sure, He wants to hear our needs. He told us to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. But then there's got to be that pause. There's got to be a moment where you stop and say, okay, Lord, speak. I'm listening. and he will speak to you.
What was the first time that you remember knowing for sure this was God speaking to you?
My wife and I was on a marriage retreat with several of our couples from our church. And all of a sudden, on a Saturday night, we had dinner, we had a nice meal, and then we wanted a time of worship and prayer. Within the inside of my innermost being, I heard the words, "Go to the kitchen window." I stopped. I knew it was so real, I thought it was audible. I didn't hear it audibly, but I thought everybody else heard what I heard, "Go to the kitchen window." I began to look around like, did anybody else hear this? And nobody moved. I froze. He spoke again, "Go to the kitchen window. I want to show you something." So Sid, I walk over to the kitchen window and I was like, "Lord, I'm here. What do you want to show me?" All of a sudden, I see snow begin to fall. The longer I sat there looking out that window, I began to see this image, this vision. I'm having an open vision. My eyes are open. I see a figure standing in the driveway, and it's my brother. And he's standing there like a hologram. It's the only way I can explain it. He's standing there, and I can see him, but I can see snow going through him. I can see light passing through him, but I can see him. I'm like, "Lord, why are you showing me my brother?" He said, "I want to speak something to you." Sid, he took me back to when I was a young teenage boy, 14 or 15 years old. And I remember my brother had a piggy bank that he would work two or three jobs after high school on the weekends, saving his money. And he put this money into a big ceramic piggy bank in his closet. He had a work ethic. I didn't. I was rebellious. Sid, my friends were going to a community pool and over the summer, and I didn't have the money to do that. But I wanted to go to the pool. So I remember thinking, well, I'll just take a couple of dollars out. It wouldn't hurt my brother. You know, it's just a couple of dollars. So I took it out, began to fish it out with a coat hanger and use this money to go to the pool. And then I would need more money to go get some pizza. And then I would need more money to go to a movie. And over the course of about a year or two, I'm assuming I took out about $1,000 to $1,500 of his hard-earned saved money. The Lord's showing me all this in a vision in Tennessee. I said, "Lord, you've already forgiven me of that. You don't remember that. You cast my sin as far as the east is to the west, not to bring him up any longer." He said, "I don't remember him. I don't remember any of your sin, but your brother does. I want you to go back to him and confess what you did, because he's all these years assumed it was somebody else, a next door neighbor, but it was you." I knew at that moment the Lord wasn't testing me to go back and reflect on my sin. He was testing me to see if I would swallow my pride. You know, I'd face my fear. My brother loved to fight. Sid, he loved to fight. He was a football player, a wrestler. He loved to fight. I've watched him fight many times. I'm not a fighter. I've never been in a fight, but I knew if I go back and confess this to my brother, he's going to get angry and he probably want to harm me as well. So I began to get fear, just rose up on the inside of me, and then my brother fades away. And all of a sudden, my mother appears. I'm like, "Lord, why are you showing me my mother?" He says, "Your mother doesn't know me." I said, "Lord, my mother's been playing a piano and an organ in a denominational church all my life, since I was a little boy. What do you mean she doesn't know you?" He said, "She knows about me, but she has no personal relationship with me. Marty, she has head knowledge, not heart knowledge. I want to have her born again." The moment my mother fades out in that open vision, I remember putting my head on the sink and just began to weep, because I wanted my mother to spend eternity with me in heaven. And I knew she was lost in that moment. And I didn't know how I was going to tell her. I heard his voice again, "Look up one more time." I said, "Lord, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. It's overwhelming." He said, "It's okay. I'm with you. Look up one more time." I looked up, Sid, and there was my dad. He was so real. He was standing there. Snow's going through him, light passing through him, but he's there. I could see him. And he had this deep, concerned look on his eyes. My dad was a hard man. He was a cop. He drank Jack and Coke every night. He smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. He was a tough man. And the Lord told me, "He's lost. He doesn't know me. And if he dies right now, he'll spend eternity away from me in a devil's hell." He faded out. I knew I had a responsibility to do something with that word. Jesus does. He just doesn't give us visions and dreams for nothing. He wants us to do something with it. We came home on that Sunday. I reached out to my family. I said, "You've got to come to my home on Tuesday night. I've got to share something with you." So my wife was there, my mother and father showed up, and my brother. And I began to share exactly with them what I just shared with you about the vision the Lord gave me. I asked my brother to forgive me. And he stood up, and I knew this is the moment. He's going to punch me. He's going to hit me. He says, "Come here." The fear set in. I began to sweat. He held his arms open and he embraced me. He said, I forgive you. You're my brother. I know Jesus has done a work in your life. I've been watching you for years. This is real. I forgive you and I love you. I began to share with my parents what the Lord shared with me. A couple of years later said they both, my mom and my dad, were born again, confessed Jesus as Lord, and now I'll spend eternity with him in heaven.
I have to ask you a question. What do you think the Bible means when it says pursue? That's a strong word. Pursue love. Desire. That's a strong word. Desire spiritual gifts.
Every spiritual gift from the Lord, all of them, have one common denominator. They all point back to the very nature and heart of God. He said, pursue love, not pursue gifts. Pursue love. The Bible says God is love. So when we pursue love, it means to pursue Him, pursue His nature, pursue His ways, His will, His words. I love the order. Pursue love, and when you've done that, then it's okay to seek after and desire spiritual gifts. It's okay to ask for the gifts as long as we have pursued love. The Lord's not wanting us to fall in love with the gifts. He wants us to fall in love with the giver of those gifts. Pursue love, then desire spiritual gifts.
Marty will tell you the major blockages to hearing God's voice. He hears God's voice so clearly, and he moves in major miracles. Then he will pray for your miracle and for you to hear God's voice so clearly. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Are you hindered from tuning into God's frequency? Do you desperately want to find God's voice in the midst of a hectic world full of noise and distraction? Many people are living completely unaware that God is speaking to them. Marty Derricott from North Georgia's Baptismal Revival says God wants to speak directly to you with words of knowledge. Marty's book and 2-CD set shows you how to reset yourself and catapults you into hearing from God in a fresh new way.
Words of knowledge is a supernatural gift from heaven. It's a divine download of information the Lord gives you about someone else or another situation that beforehand you would have no knowledge about. And the reason God gives us words of knowledge as a gift is to bless those around us and to encourage and exhort.
Marty Derricott says the enemy wants to fool you into silence. Don't let the enemy fool you any longer. Don't remain silent. Learn to speak bold words of knowledge from God and begin changing lives. Just call or go online at sidroth.org/9981 to make your donation of only $36 for Marty's book, Echo Heaven, Secrets to Hearing God's Voice and Receiving Words of Knowledge. And get his exclusive new Audio 2 CD set, Divine Dialogue, Cultivating a Relationship with God Through Listening. Shipping and handling is included. This exclusive Hearing God package is made for you, and you won't find it anywhere else.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Marty, how do we develop an ear to hear what God is saying?
Well, the first thing I think we have to do to develop an ear to hear is to understand that His desire is to speak to us. We have to understand that. We have to get the static out of our lives. Static. It's the distractions. It's the things that block us from hearing the Lord. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But I believe there are things in our life that create static. Back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, the best way I can describe dialing in and getting rid of the static is the old car radios, where you had the knob and the little red dial, and you had to turn to the right to get the radio station or to get the broadcast
feed.
I
remember.
And you would hear a little something, but you went past it and it would be static. You hear the grains. And then you go back to the left a little bit and the dial would pass and you hear a little something, but you went too far again. You hear the static again. And then you just had to take very sensitive, touch that dial just to the right, just to the left, just to the right, just to the left. And then finally you could get the download. You could get that broadcast. That's what Holy Spirit wants to help us do in our lives, is get rid of the static. Get rid of the moments in our lives that are just absolutely stealing time from hearing the voice of God. We have to develop spiritual ears. The Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So there's an invitation to hear him. The problem is, number one, we don't know he wants to speak to us. And number two, we don't know how to get rid of the static, to get rid of this disruptions in our lives to hear him.
You know, in your book, you teach 10 different ways to hear God's voice. Tell us a few.
Well, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he opened up a whole new realm of dimensions of the way he can speak to us. God is not limited by how he speaks to us. He's not limited by when he speaks to us, and he's not limited by where he speaks to us. He can speak to you in your car. He can speak to you in your cubicle. He can speak to you at home in a church service. So the way I was brought up to hearing the voice of God was through another pastor, another preacher. Somebody had to get up and declare, "Thus saith the Lord." But then once Holy Spirit baptized me, I began to see that he can speak through a vision. The first way he spoke to me, as I shared earlier, was through a vision. It's not the voice of God in my ears so much, but people have heard that way. So you can hear through visions, dreams, the audible voice of God. I have friends that have heard the audible voice of God come into the room and begin to speak to them. I haven't. I long for that. But there's so many different ways he can speak through other people, words of wisdom, and words of knowledge.
Well, there are different ways we can receive words of knowledge. Explain.
The way he taps me or nudges me or prompts me, it's an inner knowing, like you just know. This is a moment. It's a divine interruption. It's a divine download where divinity wants to communicate to humanity. And so there's this inner witness. There's this inner knowing of, I'm about to tell you something. It's a word of knowledge. It's not the gift of knowledge. It's the gift of the word of knowledge. So it's not your increasing intellect or anything like that or information. It is Holy Spirit giving you something straight from the throne room that is for a situation or a person or a circumstance around you that wants to edify and exhort the believer. So there's so many different ways that you can hear, but we have to develop that ear to hear by getting the static out.
Well, you talk about things like see it, smell it, think it, say it, read it, feel it, dream it. Give me one example.
So like feel it. When I say feel it in the book, Echo Heaven, there's been times in the waters at the North Georgia Revival where I'm standing there, we just finished an immersion, waiting for the next candidate to get in the water, and all of a sudden I'll feel a sharp pain in my left shoulder. Something so abnormal for me. It's not like I struggle with shoulder pain, but a pain would come, stabbing pain. Like scale of 1 to 10, it would be an 11, just excruciating. And in that moment, it's like, oh man, what's wrong with me? Oh, it's nothing wrong with me. Holy Spirit is downloading that he wants to heal somebody's left shoulder. So I'll stop the baptisms. I'll begin to look out into the audience or look out into the camera. And I'll see if, matter of fact, if somebody out there right now has pain in your left shoulder, put your right hand over your left shoulder and pray this prayer. In Jesus' name, I receive the healing power that he provided for through those stripes on his back right now. And I would just call it out like that. Look into the camera, look out into the audience. All of a sudden, there's 15 people that come running down with shoulder pain. We begin to release the healing power of Jesus. We begin to pray scripture over them. And in that moment, many of them, if not all of them, are healed. And then the pain will lift off my shoulder. So you can feel it.
There are three blockages, if you will, that prevent us hearing God's voice.
Just from my experience, I'm sure there's more blockages and things that will block you from hearing the voice of God. But number one is distractions. Talked about that a moment ago. Distractions are the enemy's tactics to keep us from hearing the Father. If he can keep us busy scrolling through social media, watching, binging Netflix, time away doing trivial things, we're not going to get into his presence. We're not going to hear from him. The Bible says, Moses, when the children of Israel stood afar off, Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. There's an invitation to go to a secret place where we can hear from heaven in that secret place, but you got to come out of the distractions. Distractions will keep you from the secret place, and if you're not in the secret place, you're not going to hear from him. Distractions are a killer to hearing the voice of God. Number two is doubt. If we don't believe that we can hear from God, we won't. The Bible says that if a man asks anything according to the will of the Father and does not doubt in his heart, says if he's got doubt in his heart, he's like a ship tossed to and fro in the sea. And if he has doubt, let that man not suspect he would receive anything from the Lord. So doubt will block us from hearing the voice of God. And then three is distance. if we don't find ourselves at the feet of the cross, if we don't find ourselves in that moment of prayer where we're giving the Lord an opportunity to speak to us, we won't hear from Him.
Share one story where God used a word of knowledge to heal someone.
We at this point have baptized almost 38,000 people in 6 years, and we've not seen a handful of miracles. We've not seen a dozen miracles. We've seen thousands of miracles, but there's one that stands out at the North Georgia Revival. There was a woman that lived in St. Simon's Island, and she was at a garage sale, and she overheard someone talking about the North Georgia Revival and what God was doing through the ministry there in the waters. And so she planned a weekend to come. She got into the water. The moment she turned the corner to get into the pool with us, I looked at her and I said, "It's your kidneys, isn't it? It's your kidneys." She said, "My God, how did you know that?" I said, "There's no way I could know that. But there's an issue with your kidneys. What is it?" She said, "The doctors just confirmed that I'm in kidney failure and I'm going to have to go on dialysis." I said, "Well, that's their report. We thank God for nurses and doctors and medicine and science, but at some point that stuff runs out. And when that stuff runs out, there's Jesus."
Hallelujah!
So I said, "Ma'am, we have great news for you today. The kingdom of heaven has come for you." We grabbed her by the hand, Sid. We prayed over her. We anointed her. We immersed her. She left, went back to her home in St. Simon's Island. We got word just a couple of days, a couple of weeks later, that she went back to the doctor because they were going to talk about putting her on dialysis. When she went back, they ran some more tests. They said, "I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's wrong. Your kidneys are fine. You are not going on dialysis. You're good to go."
Okay, very, very important. Just before Marty prays for you, I want you to make sure that if you died, you'd be in heaven right now. Mm. Repeat this prayer after me and mean it to the best of your ability. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've made many mistakes for which I'm so sorry. I believe the blood of Jesus has set me free. I love you, Lord. Amen. Mm. Marty, pray right now.
Mm. If you want to receive the voice of God in your own life, if you want to receive words of knowledge, words of wisdom, the spiritual gifts, let's pursue love in this moment. Seeking and desiring spiritual gifts will come later, but in this moment, let's pursue love. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Speak to my heart.
Speak to my
heart. Change my life.
Change my life.
Fill me with Holy Spirit.
Fill me with Holy Spirit.
Speak right now, Lord.
Speak right now.
Your servant listens.
Your servant listens.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Now wait for Him and let Him speak to you. So, the Spirit of the Lord just gave me two initials. That's it. C-L. C-L. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your name. But I know there's somebody watching. Your initials are C-L. And you just suffered some loss. You just suffered some loss. Maybe a relative, a spouse, may have recently passed away. C-L. That's your initials. You just suffered loss. And the Lord wants to heal your broken heart. Before He opened a blind eye, before He opened a deaf ear, before He caused the lame to walk, He said, "I came to bind up the brokenhearted." If you just put your hand over your heart, say, "Jesus, I need you today. I'm heavy, I'm hurting, I'm broken, but I receive your peace. May the peace of God rule and reign in my heart today and forevermore." In Jesus' name, receive that.